You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
ESNY.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into the Knicks State of Mind podcast. Matt Casillo, Chip Murphy, and joining us today is Chris Persianis.
Here, just pull up.
There we go.
Pull up the Twitter bio, and just run that again. Just pull up his.
I had it up, but then Chip made me feel so confident about it.
You know not to.
And
listen
then it
to
just
Chip.
Left. I'm telling you, I don't do names. Chip, you start it over. Chip, you take it away.
You already said it.
You do it. I'm done.
I feel like we should keep going with this.
We already started. This is. I'm not cutting. I'm not cutting any more of this off.
We've begun. Yeah. This. I don't want to start all the way over again.
Well, we'll just jump into it. The long joke here is I butcher names. That's what I do. That's it. We'll just live with it. Sorry, Chris, but welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Sorry, Chris, but why doesn't Chris? Why don't you say your name the right way before we get started? If you want
to,
I am Chris Persianen, and I thank you for having me on the show again. very glad to be back. So, and excited.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Chris, and sorry for that.
Now that we got all past that, and I wasn't gonna say anything, but Matt did leave me out. He said, "I'm Matt Casillo with Chip Murphy." No mention.
Did I really?
No mention of Danny Small on the pod. No mention.
You know what?
Pod.
I said we just started over.
No.
I'm Matt Casillo. Chip Murphy. Danny Small. Chris.
You really want to start over?
No. We're not.
We're not starting over.
We're in.
But I said at that we're time, going. We're going to start from there.
We're in it.
I got it right after.
Yes. So I guess just to kind of get us back on track here a little bit, today we're going to be talking about some possible trade targets, some big names and things like that, because obviously recent Devin Booker news came out. There's some rumblings there with a Mark Berman article. Some reports out there. So there's some rumblings about Devin Booker, possibly his connections to Leon Rose. So we're going to kind of go through some of the possible quote unquote disgruntled stars that the Knicks might be targeting down the line. And I guess is Devin Booker probably the place we want to start, right? Because he's really,
that's where I want to start.
Yeah.
That's
he's my the guy. Yeah, Chris he's the most, he's the most recent yeah. name to come out, and he's kind of, I guess the reason why, you know, we kind of thought to have this pod this week. So, Chris, if you want to just kind of – you want to kind of take it away with the Devin Booker stuff, because I know that's your guy. You've been all over him the past week or so.
Have you seen
whatever.
My Twitter header?
Yeah, I did. Yes. I did, and I love it. It's a nice picture of Devin Booker.
That's right.
Looking right up to Leon Rose. It's a nice little touch.
That's all right.
Yeah,
so that was my evil. Yeah, that was my evil touch of the week. Booker, man, we were talking very recently about Donovan Mitchell as someone like, oh, do we give up the farm for Donovan Mitchell? And it's like, all right, we'll take that. And then I think on a good team, you get better defense from Booker. I think Mitchell has benefited a lot from having an entire Rudy Gobert on his team for every year of his career. Add what, like three assists more per game and like 4% better shooting from the field, and now you've reached Devin Booker. You know what I mean? Like, Booker is my guy over Mitchell, over Beal, over Oladipo. All these, we're talking a lot of shooting guards get brought up. To me, the shooting guard that's going to be your third piece, because if you're contending for a championship, you need a wing. You need an MVP caliber wing. And you need a big man who, you know, traditionally you need an elite big man. If you're the Warriors and you have all-star talent at literally every other position besides center, then that's a different situation. But the mold is kind of like all-star guard, MVP caliber wing, all-star big man. And that's going to get you probably to the finals in the East a lot. Booker, if we're talking which guards, whatever young stars to move for, Booker is someone who I am willing to trade probably a lot more than other Knicks fans are for. And I say that only because I would be trading for Booker knowing that I have other people in the building or coming to the building, kind of like, you know, the Clippers gave up so much for Paul George. But that was also because doing that netted them, you know, Kawhi Leonard. I would give up a lot for Booker if we had other people in the building. So, you know, I am with Knicks Film School. So Jeremy of Knicks Film School, Jeremy Cohen, very recently brought up his evil diabolical plot to sell Giannis and AD on New York next summer and to pull the trigger instantly on a Booker deal as their third guy. I'm here for that because that team wins a ring and you can't tell me otherwise if Devin Booker is your third guy. The other thing with Booker, a reason I'm an advocate is I think because of the situation the Knicks are in now, I put out a Booker video breakdown for Knicks SI. I tweet a lot about Booker and I keep getting told that, oh, this is Carmelo all over again. Oh, this is Carmelo. Well, we would have Devin Booker and whatever assets left and cap flexibility. It's completely different. We got Carmelo and there was no remaining assets and no remaining cap flexibility. And that's how we ended up where we are today. Still trying to fix the aftermath of that, you know, watching wasn't that Jamal Murray pick was ours, right? We owned that one. And now he's lined up for 160 mil over 5 years. And, you know, it's like, we're still dealing with the aftermath pretty much of the Carmelo trade and not having those assets. And I think Booker would be different because if you get Booker in the building and nobody else is here, you still have a lot of different paths you can take going forward. You're not stuck to just pushing for a ring and it's a failure if not. You know, he's 23 right now, signed through 2024, which is, you know, I'm just giving more reasons for the Suns not to trade him. But If you, I think not now, and this is the case I made for SI, is either at the deadline or next summer or at next season's deadline, you can get him for a lower price just because of the fact that there's less years left on that deal. I pull the trigger on that instantly.
Yeah, so would I. Next season, like you said, I think they play the waiting game with Booker would be the smart move, like you said. And I like Booker a lot too. I think not enough is being made. Me and you were talking about this before we came on about how well he's played with Rubio this year. His offensive numbers with Rubio are ridiculous. Like, they're in the 90th percentile with him and Rubio on the court. I really like that he took fewer shots this year than he did last year. His field goal percentage went up. He took fewer threes this year. His three-point percentage went up. And his usage went way down, like 3 percentage points down. Played smarter basketball this year. And he took more mid-range shots. He's one of the best mid-range shooters in the NBA. I know that's not something everybody likes here. But if you make a lot of them, you should be taking a lot of them.
In the playoffs, it matters.
Yeah, in the playoffs, it matters. Right. In the play, we've seen CJ the Houston McCollum. Rockets. The, mm-hmm. Yeah, CJ McCollum. The three-point shot isn't everything in the playoffs, as we've seen with the Houston Rockets. But, yeah, he takes a lot of them, and he makes a lot of them. So that's when it matters. So, yeah, I really like he's played this year. And I think playing, like you said, with Mitchell Robinson behind him, he's never had a player like that defensively. We've seen what he's done playing with a competent point guard for the first time with Ricky Rubio, a guy who's tried to set him up. I just think another just having a guy there, a guy like a Devin Booker, to show that we can have a guy like Devin Booker there would be something. And I agree with you that we should be waiting. We shouldn't make the move like right now and like do something crazy like trade RJ Barrett for Devin Booker, because right now Phoenix has all the leverage. He's under contract for 4 more years. He just signed the extension. So it would be crazy to do that. And I'd probably, I'd say wait until after, if you can, wait until after the 2021 draft, because you, that draft, I guess, is loaded. So you want to make your pick there. I'm sure the only way to get this done is if Booker goes to Phoenix and says, I want out, which he could. They could suck again next year, and he might do that. Who knows? And with Leon Rose there and World Wide West there, I'm sure they're going to be pushing him on it, and they're going to have guys on the Knicks pushing him on it. And I think he's probably only going to get better next year, but a lot of it's the NBA. A lot of things could happen. We don't know how much better DeAndre Ayton's going to get. I don't think he's going to be good enough for Devin Booker to not want to come to New York. We'll see. I like the idea of Devin Booker in New York, though. I think he's really underrated. And, yeah, I like the trade. I'd make the trade, but I would wait on the trade. I wouldn't go crazy and trade, like, a pick this year or a pick from the 2021 draft.
Yeah, I think I think one of the things we kind of – we talked about it before a little bit, but the idea of, you know, trading for Donovan Mitchell, I think, is a good one. Obviously, Mitchell's a great player. He's young, you know, whatever. He can, he's a primary ball handler, like ball handler. That's like kind of a way to build your team. But I think I'm in agreement with you guys in the sense that I like Booker more than Mitchell. I know Mitchell has had the team success, yeah, you know, the Jazz. He burst on the scene, rookie of the year. Devin Booker's been kind of, you know, I mean, he made an all-star team this year, but before that, you know, a lot of people said, oh, he can't win, he can't do this, he can't do that. He's, but I mean, he's stuck in Phoenix. I mean, the reason why we're talking about this right now is because Josh Jackson went on Twitter or on Instagram or something and was like, he's, there's no way Devin Booker's staying in that, you know, trash organization, or, you know, whatever he said. But I mean, I think the fact that he's been in Phoenix, a bad organization, for years has kind of turned a few people sour on him. Whereas, you know, he can score at all three levels. He's a beast in that department. But then we've seen, even before Rubio, when he had to play more point guard because they didn't have anybody at point guard, he was competent as, you know, like a main ball handler, like playing the point, you know, a decent amount of time. Like, he's good at that. I think, you know, kind of – I don't know if I'm buying necessarily the Giannis AD Booker combo. I don't know.
Oh, don't buy it.
I don't think that's going to happen, obviously.
No, it's insanity. But
I'm putting myself in that hypothetical right now. And, like, if you have a Giannis who handles the ball so much, you have, like, a guy like AD who has the ball in his hands a lot for a big, I guess, and then you have Booker, like, you don't necessarily need a traditional, like, top-flight point guard on that team, because when you get into crunch time in the playoffs, like, Booker can kind of flex into that primary ball handler type role, because, you know, he's, you know, he's good enough at that. And then you have Giannis. Like, I think Booker is just such a flexible kind of guard, and he's so good at scoring, and some of his, like, his passing and playmaking gets overshadowed a little bit. But yeah, no, I agree with you guys. You know, obviously trading for Booker right now is not going to happen, because the Suns are not going to give up on him, and he's probably not going to request a trade, you know, or anything crazy like that in the next few months. But down the line, Booker is definitely a guy I think the Knicks should keep an eye on, at least. I mean, the connections are all there. Obviously, people are going to listen to this and say, you guys are crazy. Oh, this Knicks people, oh, you do this with media fans. You guys do this every time. Oh, you look at the, you know, the star and say, oh, we can get him. Like, but I mean, you'd be lying to yourself if you said, you know, Leon Rose in the front office aren't at least keeping an eye on him and, you know, keeping tabs on guys like that.
Yes, they are. This is why they got Leon Rose in World Wide West.
I was going
to
say,
plays
Wes,
like this. Yeah.
Wes is the guy that needs to be brought up here almost more than people are like, oh, why did it take so long for us to bring on Wes officially? Because what do you think Wes was doing? He was tampering his ass off for the last 3 months. Like, what do you think he was up to? In Cabo, like, sitting with his feet up in his flip-flops, reading a book? No, he was calling people every day, probably, trying to figure things out. I guarantee they have several plans already developed right now that, and I have no idea what, of course, I have no idea what any of them are, but I guarantee they have Leon and Wes have one of those cork boards with all the red strings going, you know, We got to do this and this trade to this guy, and he posted this on Instagram, and I called him, and this, like, they have plans right now on plans on plans on plans to develop some sort of a. You can imagine that Leon didn't take this job to tell Dolan, like, hey, I'm going to get you a good basketball team. We just have to really stink for the next 2 years. Like, that's not in the cards. It's not.
They're not going to tank. They're not going to tank.
And the goal, not realistic, but when you're thinking realistically about what Leon's dream accomplishments would be, it would be a 3-star sustainable contender. You know, not an old guy and another old guy and maybe one young guy like Booker, where you have a 2-year window and then you're screwed for the next decade when you don't win. They're probably going to be looking for guys entering or in their prime, and young guys as well. And Booker very well fits that bill. So
that's what
NBA. Oh, sorry, Matt. I was just going to say one of my favorite NBA social media fuck ups ever is when the Orlando Magic posted that whiteboard picture in the back, and it said, like, trade for Saric. I forget the player they were trading for Saric.
Aaron Gordon.
It was so funny. Aaron Gordon was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. It was so funny.
You know, just so funny. To bring up what Chris was saying there was, the thing that I was thinking about, if you – are going to look at the, you know, and I know there's rumblings, and anytime there's always, you know, these rumors that a player might request a trade, it's, you guys know how I feel about that. I think anytime there's some kind of star player out there, the Knicks automatically kind of get tied into it. And I don't just buy into the hype because I've seen it all, heard it all. And right now with this, I'm just trying to keep even keel, but I am a big Devin Booker fan. And I think that's the big thing, like Chris said, is that if you can trade for him, not right, obviously right now it's not the best time to do it, but if a little later on down the road you can add a Devin Booker to your team, not only are you getting a guy that's a walking bucket. I mean, the guy's averaging, 26 points a game this year? I mean, the ball's in his hands
26,
a lot.
26, 4, and 6 on, 48%, exactly. I think.
I mean, that's the one thing you kind of knew about him even coming into the league, really, and just seeing him right from his rookie year. The guy is going to put up numbers.
May I add that's with his opponent's best defender on him at all times, because who the hell else are they going to guard?
Yeah. I mean, he's dropped 70 in a game, which is like the decade's most points, I think. You know, if I'm not mistaken, this decade, I think 70 was the most points scored in a game. And he's
wasn't he
23 years old.
Wasn't he 20 at the time?
Yeah. He's 70, young. Right? I mean, like that's the point. This kid is 23 years old. If you can get this guy, you're getting not only a star, but you're getting a star in his prime. Actually, matter of fact, the guy hasn't even
not even in his prime. Yeah, no, he is 5 years. Biologically, he is 5 years away from entering his athletic prime.
Exactly, and he's already this freaking good. And normally, I am not like you guys. Chris, I think you've heard me on the last time you were on the pod. I'm a huge Mitchell Robinson fan. Like, and I know his name is going to come. If you get a chance to get a guy like Devin Booker, Mitchell, I love you, but you got to go.
He'll pack his bags for him.
Yes. Draft picks as well. Send them out the door and get me a guy like Devin Booker because he's 23 years old.
What I say about Booker is, like, for people who say they wouldn't include Barrett in a Booker deal, I say, first of all, if you're calling the Suns anytime in the next 365 calendar days and your offer doesn't include R.J. Barrett, that is the easiest way for Leon Rose to get his number blocked by Phoenix. Like, really quick. Agreed. Just, this is a fan pranking us. Block this caller. First of all, that. Second of all.
And I would love to see, Barrett, develop. Yeah. But the point is, if you can get a guy you already know that's playing at a high level and he's only 23 freaking years old, you send Barrett out the door because he's still in the process of development.
My second point about Barrett is that if Barrett develops a shot and learns to score at all three levels and the defense comes along with his strength and as he gets older, you really, you have all the potential lines of development, worst case, expected, best case, best case scenario for RJ Barrett, realistically, when he's 23, he is where Booker is now in terms of impact. Like, that's so why would you not just, if you have the stars now, why are you waiting four more years for RJ when you have superstars that want, it will only come if you get that guy for them and you have the assets to get that guy for them. I love RJ Barrett. I have his jersey right in that there closet, and I am going to be the first one calling American Express jersey trade insurance. You know what I mean? Like, I love RJ Barrett, and I know his work ethic is ridiculous, and I know he's going to be good. I agreed. The Posting and Toasting guys had Dave Dufour on the show, and they kind of came to this consensus that if everything goes well for RJ, impact-wise, he's doing for a team what Middleton is doing for the Bucks right now. He's a good second guy, not a great, but showing his worth, a top 20 guy in the league in his best season ever, and not maybe top 25 every other year. I think Booker is already there right now, so that's why I would not be afraid to include RJ in a deal. I don't think they would want Mitch because they just traded for the rights to pay Saric, and they just drafted Ayton number one. And then if you know they have, they're going to be probably paying Oubre also to be their 3/4. So I don't think they want Mitch. I say if you're going to trade this summer, the only way I make a trade for Booker this summer is if AD, like something went really wrong in AD's head and he decides he wants to sign in New York, and he'll do it if we trade for Devin Booker. I would send, if it means getting AD, I send RJ and the 2020, 22 and 24 unprotected firsts, all three of them, and Barrett for Booker, if it means pairing him with Davis. If it doesn't, I'm not doing that just to have only Booker in the door. So
I think it's not going to happen. So
Devin Booker will be in a Phoenix jersey to start next season, I think, no matter what. Mm-hmm. No matter what Leon offers, no matter, the Suns might say, hey, bring us that same offer 20 games into the year if Booker starts making a stink about wanting to leave. But it's not getting traded right now. Ian Begley just said he texted an executive asking what would happen. The response he got was just LOL in all caps. That's for a reason. It's because he's not getting moved unless he makes a massive stink about wanting out and makes it clear to them that, like, they need to move him or they are going to be, like, things are not going to go well. So
I think
that's when we step in.
I just want to touch on kind of Mitch for a second, because this was kind of one of the things I was thinking of coming into the show is – one of the issues that the Knicks have, like, obviously they have more than enough assets to, like, actually make it, like, to make these deals. They have so many draft picks. They got RJ Barrett. They have enough young guys to do it. But Mitch is probably, like, I think we can all probably agree that he's their number two, like, player asset to make in one of these deals. But one of the problems is, like, you look at Phoenix, they have Ayton. They're not going to be like, oh, we need a starting center in here. You look at Utah, if they're trying to get rid of Mitchell, they have Gobert, so they're not gonna be high on Robinson. Same thing like Oladipo, who we'll get to in a little bit. Same thing with him. If the Knicks are trading for Oladipo, Robinson is not gonna come in like with Sabonis and Turner. Like, I think one of the issues there is, like, one of the Knicks' best assets in terms of just, like, you know, a legit player who can plug and play and come in and, you know, immediately impact the team, one of their best assets is probably not going to fit on a lot of those teams that they would trade with.
Agreed.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't.
We're all high on Mitch. Like, obviously, you know, Knicks fans especially, but, like, you know, Knicks media, Knicks fan, everyone in New York knows Mitch is, like, a really good player who, like, with a high ceiling and everything. But I think we probably overvalue him just because, one, he's a second-round pick.
Knicks fan overvaluing their players? Yeah. You're kidding.
That's not even a shot at Knicks fans, because every team's fans, like, overvalue, like, and any sport too. Like, Yankee fans are notorious for it, like, all that. But Mitch, the fact that he's a second-round pick, I think people overvalue him because it's like it's a second-round steal. Oh, my God, he's so good. You know, people overvalue him because of that.
Yeah.
And then, two, you just saw, you know, 2 years ago, people were like, oh, Clint Capella could be, you know, one of the best centers in the league. Like, people were really high on Capella. And then he basically gets, like, dumped in a deal, you know, to Atlanta. Whereas, like, these centers nowadays, I think, unless you're really, like, that Rudy Gobert, like, that unbelievable, like, phenomenal, like, top-notch, like, 1, 2, or 3, like, in the, like, an all-NBA center, you're not, I don't want to say like replaceable, but your value isn't close to what, you know, like a guard of a similar caliber talent would be. Because, I mean, a rim running big is great, but there's a bunch out there.
On Capella has a dimension of his game that Robinson does not, that is highly valuable to contending teams, which is the passing. If you don't have all-star talent at all four positions besides center, you need to have a good center who can defend, who can anchor you defensively, and needs to be able to do one of two things on the offensive end. He needs to be able to either pass or shoot. If he can't pass too well, needs to be able to hit those corner threes. If he can't shoot too well, he needs to be an able passer and find your other talent open, right? And Mitch kind of just, I feel like Mitch has these goggles on where like everything is in black and white and all he can see is like the shining orange rim, and he just knows like that and just jumps up, dunks. And but what else does he do for you? We see Mitch, he gets the ball anywhere that's not the paint, and he literally just stands there waiting, looking around. Where's RJ? Crap, gonna have to give it to Alfred. Here you go. And that's it. You know, and if Mitch can add that, you know, off a pick and roll, pop it to Mitch down low, and he kicks it out to, say, my guy Danilo Gallinari in the corner, that's an aspect of his game that would be helpful. But he doesn't have it, and he hasn't shown it. I don't think Mitch has ever averaged over two assists in like a 2-week stretch or something like that. He hasn't even had a 2-week stretch where he's averaged over two assists. Like some crazy stat where the passing is just not there at all. We know the shooting is not there because he shoots 0% from three. Will the shooting get there next season? He just said again on Instagram today that he's going to start shooting. He said on TikTok like 2 weeks ago, I made like a fake breaking news report. Like Mitchell Robinson, per his TikTok, has announced he'll start shooting, and Macri had a field day with that one because he's old. But
every year, whenever next season starts, trust me, there's going to be like, you're going to see articles like one day, like media availability, you're going to see like 8 different articles come out that are like, Mitchell Robinson says he's working on the 3-point shot. And like, I mean, all like everyone,
one of them is going to be mine.
The thing. Like, we all know it's for a rookie year, like he said it in the beginning and everyone was kind of like, oh, is he for real? Then this year, everyone was kind of like, okay, it's probably not for real. The next year, like next time it happens, like everyone's going to be writing article. I believe
if he starts taking exclusively open 3-point shots, it'll depend on the roster. If I look at next year's roster and it's like what I tweeted out the other day, that mock roster, I actually really like that roster of mine with a lineup of Dragic, LaMelo, Barrett, Gallo, and Mitch. If it's a team like that where the point of the season is very clearly to optimize the young talent already in-house to use it as trade bait the next summer, okay, then yeah, Mitch might want to start taking those open shots, and I think they'll let him start taking those open shots. But if, you know, if we go after Chris Paul, Mitchell Robinson is not shooting 3-pointers.
So. And even with the way you see on social media, you know, I think a couple weeks ago he was dribbling the basketball, you know, between his legs, and everybody was going crazy like, oh, that's impressive for a 7-foot guy with handles like that. And he was going up against like a 4-foot midget that
his
was
buddies.
Just there.
Literally,
you know what I mean?
I've
like,
never seen
of course, you're
clip.
Gonna look like an. You're going to look like a street baller when you can do that against, you know, that's not an NBA
I have yet to see a workout
talent,
clip,
you know?
Of Mitchell Robinson that's not with his friends. Like, I don't
exactly.
know who he's working out with, but.
And when you post videos of him shooting, you know, I think what happens, and I think this is the point that we're making, is that, you know, people might see him on his social media account shooting a wide open three and go, wow, man, he's adding that to his game, and that's great. And then the argument here when it comes into trade talks about him is, oh, what if he develops that 3-point shot? Or not even – it doesn't have to be a 3-point. It can be that 15-foot shot right at the elbow or on the short baseline or something. You know, we all know that's obviously going to add value to him. But here it's the what if. And that's the thing. Yeah. So we don't know. He could develop it, and that would be great. But if he doesn't develop it, then yes, he's a one-dimensional player. He's just going to dunk the basketball.
Yeah.
He's going to rebound and dunk the basketball and block some shots.
I've seen it.
That's
go ahead. I don't want to cut you off.
Well, the closing thought with that is, again, when you're talking about potential trade, you already have a guy that you know what he can do. Like Devin Booker, you know, is a great shooter, mid-range shooter, can shoot the three ball well. You know all that. Mitchell Robinson is more of the what-if type thing, and I think fans kind of get caught into it. Well, what if he develops this? That's great and all, but at the end of the day, if I already know a guy that can do it, then I want him because you know for sure it's going to happen instead of let's bank on this guy developing this because it may never happen and then you're completely screwed. I know it sounds like I'm bashing Mitchell Robinson because, again, I can't stress enough how much I love him. But when we're talking about, like, a trade for a player like a Devin Booker, I already know what I'm going to get. There is no more development. I mean, obviously, he's going to get better. We just mentioned that. He's only 23 years old. He's not even in the freaking prime of his career. That's the point. You know what you're going to get. You know what you're going to see later on. Like, you just know it. With somebody like Mitchell Robinson's aspect, we don't know if he's going to develop a jumper. And just because he posts a video of hitting a three-pointer with nobody else in the gym – I mean, anybody can do that.
I've seen everybody contend that wide open.
To jump in and make my point, I was going to say that right before the shutdown, I was at like pretty much every Knicks practice, and I've seen Mitch hit like tons and tons of threes. Like I've seen him sit there and drill like 5, 6, 7 in a row.
Right.
And
like they're in the NBA.
Every NBA player, like no matter what, they can hit those shots. In the gym, when they're just in the gym, messing around, they can hit all those shots. But in a game, it's such a different story. It's like a different story. Like
I contend to this day that Meyer Zoke's best ever tweet is when Denny Avdia, and I buy Denny's revamped shot, by the way. That thing is lightning quick, and that kid has moved up to number 5 on my big board because of it. But Denny tweeted out that first video of him just like shooting for 2 minutes. And Meyer Zoke responds with a video of him in an open gym shooting corner threes. He makes like 20 in a row. And he's like, Denny, I'm impressed, but remember that anyone can do this. Like, very Meyer, but like, I still say it's his best tweet ever. That guy,
it's 100% true. Like right. these guys are, they're all NBA players. They literally like, they like think of whatever, if you're listening to this podcast, think of what you do for 8 hours a day at work. Like, just imagine instead of like doing what you do for work, like just being in the gym and just shooting. Like, they can hit those shots. It's obviously way different in a game when you have NBA defense and things like that. Like, all these guys can hit shots. It's just a different story when you actually have defense on you.
When you watch warmups, again,
and that's, I mean, we're going off of the rails here, but.
The
Twitter guy who's like, oh, like you're shooting 20% from three. Like I could shoot better than that. It's like, no, you can't. Like you can't.
No. You watch warm ups, and even the guy that never plays is not missing a shot.
Frankie Ntilikina like barely misses threes in warm ups.
And it doesn't even hit the rim. It's just all freaking net. Like these guys can do this. So it what we're saying is like people get caught up in these videos and going, oh, I don't want to trade somebody like Mitchell Robinson because I seen on Facebook he hit 7 3-pointers by himself with his friend that passed the ball. And they're wild. Like, they think, like, Dirk Nowitzki is going to show up on the court and he's going to be draining threes left and right. It's not going to happen. He doesn't have the green light to shoot a freaking 3-pointer. I mean, it's an open freaking gym. That's where people got to pump the brake here. I know what I'm going to get with Devin Booker. He's going to shoot that in the game and make it. You know, like I know that's gonna happen, so that's why I'm saying, like,
right. You know, I get the ideology behind your point. Yeah.
Right. You know, the what if, what versus what I know is gonna happen, that you got to pull the trigger on something like that.
Remember when Hassan Whiteside used to post videos of himself shooting when he was in Miami? So it can go both ways.
Yeah. It's kind of just people get caught into like, what if he adds this? What if that? And you have a chance to get somebody that you know can do it, you got to pull the trigger on something like that. Now, I know we have other guys here that we kind of thrown in there, you know, some other kind of the big topic always is like disgruntled star that might want to get traded, move to a different market. Somebody like Bradley Beal as well has been mentioned. And of course, as you know, you can go look articles and see him tied to the Knicks there. That's another name And basically, you know, I think for me personally, if I'm starting off with a guy like Bradley Beal, obviously another guy that's a great shooter. You know, it's a league now that you got to be able to shoot the basketball. And we all know the Knicks have not been able to find a consistent shooter. I mean, Wayne Ellington was this, like, high-percentage three-point shooter. He comes to the freaking Knicks, and he can't hit a three-pointer to save his damn life. You know, so the Knicks are looking for some kind of shooter, somebody like Bradley Beal. If he was disgruntled, wanted to leave Washington, what would that kind of trade package look like? I think it would be less than a Devin Booker, because obviously
– way less.
Yeah, I mean, what is Beal's like 28 years old or something like that. So
yeah,
starting probably getting into the prime of his career. Maybe he's a little bit younger. I'm not
29.
Sure. 29, yeah, older, whatever. It's just
27
what kind
right
of package – 27.
Oh. Yeah, I was going to say he's younger than me, which like by a couple
27.
Months. Yeah.
He's 27, but forever, he just signed an extension. So
yeah.
Through 2023.
With Beal, my thinking with Beal is that I say, like, I'd like to move for Booker if he's your second or third guy. But, like, if he is the first guy on the door, so be it, because he can definitely bring other stars at some point. Like, that talent is noticeable by anyone who plays the game. Beal is one of those, like, I'm not trading for Bradley Beal if that's my first guy in the door. That's, like, my complimentary star. I can't hitch my wagon to Bradley Beal if I'm going. That doesn't work for me.
To me, I think both. Like, Booker, obviously he's younger, which is nicer than Beal. I mean, Beal 27, he's entering his prime. But I think both of them, I'd be pretty comfortable with either of them as like my second guy. I mean, they'd be number one on this current Knicks team, obviously. But either one of them, I think you can have them as a second guy, and they wouldn't be like final or championship favorites or anything like that, but I think that's a good place to start, where if you have you have Beal as your number two, I think that's a roster that could work. But of course at that point it depends on, you know, how you fill around those guys, how you kind of work around them with their, you know, getting good role players and shit like that. But I like Beal. I like Beal a lot. Obviously I'm a little biased because, he spent 1 year at Florida, which is my guys, my team. And you know, I think Beal, he's come a long way since he's coming in the league. Like, I think it was Kevin O'Connor put out a piece today about how basically the dynamic in Washington has almost switched, where, you know, before Wall's injury, Wall was the number one and Beal was the number two, but now, right, going forward, it's going to be Beal is the number one, Wall is the number two.
He showed he could be a one.
He
right.
could.
Yeah,
he which showed that I think, for sure. I think we'll see. Because I don't think they're going to trade.
Well, that's – yeah.
They're not going to trade
on
Beal.
On a losing team.
They're not going to trade Beal this year. And I think this upcoming year, because he opted out, obviously. But I think this upcoming year, we're going to see, like, can Bradley Beal be a legit number one on a team?
No,
I don't think so. I probably agree with you there, Chris. Like, I don't think he's going to be a number one.
If you think Bradley Beal's a number one, you also think D'Angelo Russell's a number one. Like, neither of them are.
All right.
Or rather, I can phrase it like this. I'll phrase it like that. How about this? I'll rephrase that. They could be your number one the same way that I could play the flute right now. Like, I can pick up a flute and
I assume you don't play flute. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. never once in my life. like a team with Bradley Beal as its number one is, and here's a point that I was looking to bring up at some point during this pod, because I think a lot of Knicks fans need to hear this when we're talking about these all crazy aspirations, right? Just because something is better than what you have now does not mean it's good or really good, or something you should be putting all your hopes and dreams. Like, just because Bradley Beal would be by far the best player on this team right now does not mean he's getting you anywhere in the playoffs as your number one. Would he be the best player this team has had since Kristaps? Like, yeah, but what is that saying? You know, people get too caught up, in my opinion, on the whole, oh, well, I'll trade whatever for Booker right now because he'd be the best player we've had since Carmelo. Okay. Right. And then what are you going to do? What do you do from there, bud? What do you do from – you have no assets left, and now you have Booker and cap flexibility. But with only Booker, what are you going to use that cap flexibility on? It's, I think Booker, all any of these guys, any of these shooting guards we're talking about, Beal, Booker, Oladipo, Mitchell, these are none of them to me are someone who you want as your number one on your team
right.
for more than 1 year. If Booker is the number one, yeah, like if he's the number one, and then the next year you make something else happen, or you send some crazy, the Pelicans decide they're going to pay Lonzo, and you send some crazy offer for Brandon Ingram, and now you have Booker and Ingram, okay, now we're talking. But if Booker's your number one for more than 1 year, that's wasted time.
I think that I would say I definitely agree with you. Getting like a guy like Beal or Booker as your number one and like becoming, you know, a 5, 6, 7 seed in the East and maybe winning a playoff series here and there. Like that's not,
it's basketball purgatory. That's,
yeah. Basketball yeah, purgatory exactly. is a good way to put it. But I will say this is completely anecdotal, but at least a few of my friends who are, you know, big time Knicks fans, but you know, kind of, they're just fans, you know, but they'll text me and people will say like, I just want like something. I just want playoffs. I want something to watch. Like obviously yeah, the ultimate goal.
Yeah.
The ultimate goal is a championship, but I think there's a good portion of Knicks fans. I mean, I have no idea what the percentage is or anything like that, but I think there's a good portion of Knicks fans that would actually be happy with just having like a competitive team that makes the playoffs. I know,
wasting my time.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. Like, I know you guys are not yeah. that group of fans.
I know you're talking about this.
There's
yeah.
definitely a group yeah. of fans out there that are like,
it's desperation.
Yeah, for those that think that,
100%.
Yeah.
For those,
for example,
that
think
that, if you're an eighth seed, you know, for those that think that, like, if you're an eighth seed, congratulations, you earned yourself 4 more games than the 9th seed. Like that's it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's not worth it like at all.
An example is this. Like I think if I ran a poll right now and said, "Hey Knicks fans, in the game 1 of the 2022 season, the 3 best players on your team are LaMelo Ball, Donovan Mitchell, and Devin Booker. Are you signed up for this? Yes or no?" Yes wins resoundingly because people just want something. But what the hell is LaMelo Ball, Devin Booker, and Donovan Mitchell going to do in the second they get to the playoffs? Like, they'll get to the playoffs. That'll be cool. And they're going to get there, and Giannis or Kawhi or Simmons or whoever it is going to smack them right out. It's just not worth our time. What are we really doing here? The point is to win championships. I know we're deprived. I know we're depressed. I personally cry myself to sleep every night when I think about KD and Kyrie and Zion and everything, right? But you can't – why dream small? You know, if we're dreaming in the first place, dream big.
Yeah.
Do something worth your time. And that's why I spend time talking about AD and Giannis and things like that, because it's like – and people – oh, you're only 18. You have time anyway. You know, like – I'm 50, I'm 35, I'm 60. I've already dealt with enough decades of terribleness and I just want something. Well, sorry, I want more than just something. Like, give me 5 more years and we'll get you to the finals instead of spending 2 years in the semifinals and then not seeing the playoffs for another decade because we screwed ourselves out of assets for the next decade. And I'm not that impatient. And maybe that's because I'm so young, but I think that's worth it to be patient. So.
I can't be too mad at those guys because I'm 31 and I'm still bitter, like, and angry about all the losing that I've seen. So if I'd had to watch it for 60 years, I can't imagine. If I was 60 years old having to watch it for that long, I can't imagine. But
yeah,
I'm not in being in the same situation that the Orlando Magic are in right now, or the Washington Wizards, and chasing after
the seventh or eighth seed.
And just having like Nikola Vucevic as your one guy. But yeah, we've seen what Bradley Beal high usage 22 shots per game team is. If Bradley Beal were the number one guy on the Knicks next year, it would be the Washington Wizards this year. They would
exactly that's what I was going
as the eighth seed.
Exactly. So
I think we could get some more talent. I think say this summer we send this year's lottery pick and Knox and Frank and one of the Mavs firsts, and that gets us Beal, right? Then we have Mitch, And we have the cap space to do Gallo and Dragic still somehow, right? Something like that. Like, maybe we're talking fifth seed. Maybe we're talking fourth at best. But even if you get there, what's happening?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're out
what's
first.
Happening yeah, I mean, once you
might
get
through the first round, but you're out the second round.
Exactly. You might get through the first round.
Yeah.
Might get through the first round.
You might get through the first round, and you're counting on Gallo. As much as I love Gallo, you're counting on Gallo staying healthy.
True. Exactly. It's not – you're not getting anywhere. The Knicks do not need to acquire an all-star this summer, nor should they feel like they have to, nor should – I hope they know that the smart fans – I'll declare ourselves the smart fans, right? Like, yeah. We're willing – we'll give you one more year, Leon. You don't stink it up next year because Jimmy D doesn't want that. But don't be afraid to not make the playoffs next year if it means being way better for the next 10, is my point.
Yeah.
Well, Tibbs saw it, what moving the goalposts up, accelerating the timeline did in Minnesota. He fucked up doing that. So if he's coming in, he knows what a mistake that can be. Like, he tanked, or I don't know if he tanked. He lost that first year in Minnesota, and he panicked, and he traded for Jimmy Butler. And it was a mistake doing that. But I don't know if it was a mistake trading for Butler, but it was a mistake the way he handled it.
It didn't work out.
Yeah.
It didn't work out. We can all agree on that. Butler didn't really want to be there.
Yeah.
Butler didn't want to be there.
Well, yeah. I don't think that was Tibbs' fault. I think that was
– No. I think that was just Wiggins, the way it was.
Wiggins and Towns more than Tibbs. I think Butler was fine with Tibbs. Butler and Tibbs got along – swimmingly.
Those two are both crazy. They're crazy about winning. Both of them are crazy about winning.
They're cut from the same cloth.
I think they're both tight, but I don't think Butler was thrilled with Tibbs at the time. I think they're probably not.
Yeah. But
you can hear what Tibbs he said back then. Like, Tibbs was Jimmy Butler's comments about, you know, the way the team's attitude was. Like, it was a bad situation from the start. It kind of brings up, you know, like, we have Leon Rose now. What we're kind of talking about here is I don't want to see kind of like a Phil Jackson way of doing it, like the Band-Aid fixes.
Oh,
like
I'm not worried about that.
You know what I mean? We don't need to get Derrick Rose or something. You know what I mean? Like, we just start throwing some names that were good like 6 years ago to give the illusion like we're going to be competitive, and it was a complete train wreck disaster. You know, and that's what I'm saying. You don't need to do something like that. You just got to wait it out, kind of. And I think Leon, like as you said, Chris, he has a plan. It's like he's been working, you know.
What I was just about to add is that you can't. And this is not something I know. This is not something anyone's told me. This is just my brain sitting and doing some thinking for once. And there's no shot that Leon Rose went, oh, hey, James Dolan. Oh, you want me to be the president? Sure, I'll do it. Let's sign that contract. And now, several months later, he's starting to figure out what he wants to. No, he took this job with a plan in mind that was discussed with Dolan before. Dolan didn't just go like, that guy, let's do it. And no. There was a plan that was discussed and a methodology, because Dolan's been sold on shitty plans before. Wasn't it Mills and Perry? They told Dolan they were going to make the playoffs this season. Like, Morris, Randall, Barrett will get you to the playoffs, and then we'll go for sure. I'm pretty sure they made him the guarantee, and that's why Mills got fired. I think they guaranteed him playoffs. I don't know if there was
a guarantee, but I do know for a fact that when they brought in these guys, like the Bobby Portis, the Marcus Morrises of the world, when they brought them in, they told those guys, they said, the plan is to compete and go for the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. I don't know if necessarily Mills got fired because they weren't making the playoffs, but it was because they sucked and they told him we're going for the playoffs. We're going to be.
Yeah.
I think your point is correct. You're right, Chris.
You see that a little bit like the first 10 games of the season, they had that review and they're like, we didn't meet our expectations.
I just watched it again today.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's a telltale sign that this team or Mills and, you know, they thought this team was going to be more competitive as it is. Like, I'm pretty sure coming into the season, they didn't listen to our podcast because I didn't see what they saw at all. The expectations were so low. But they come in the first 10 games. Yeah, we really just didn't meet the expectation. What do you think? You know,
Colin was predicting playoffs. Friend of the show, Colin Loring. Actually, I don't want to.
Well, friend of you guys. Friend of you guys.
Yeah, shut up, Chip. I don't want to put that on Colin and say he was definitely predicting playoffs, but like we had a lost episode.
We had like 25 wins.
We had a lost episode pod with me, Chip, and Colin where Colin like blew our minds with some of his takes, and one of them was like, the Knicks were going to be like a sneaky playoff, like maybe like compete for the playoffs, which I know Chip and I can say with certainty we were like, that's not happening. Like, that's just not happening.
I will say my most, because I'm only 18. I've only been in the fan game for a few years, and I've only been a real like super fan for probably only 3 or 4 years at this point. I will say that I predicted 32 wins on the season exactly.
That was my high mark.
And
that
if you take mark. If you take Miller's win percentage, multiply that by 82, I think it comes out to like 31.7 or something like that. That's like the closest I've been to being right about anything with the Knicks. I swore that Derrick Rose team. Nah, they got it. They got it. They'll do it. They'll pull it. Because I mean, team. I was like 11. I don't know how old I was when that happened. I was like 13 when that happened. I was an idiot.
That's okay. We'll give you a pass. Like
that's why I will say that I predicted the success of this team under a competent replacement level at worst coach was 32 wins, and that's what they did under Miller. Which isn't not great, Bob. You know, like,
but and the
who
they
got
had,
them to that? So who terrible. Got them? That's another thing. When next season, when I say that the goal for next season should be the optimization of our young talent, I think I'm what I mean by that specifically is, however many games we win, it's because the kids won those games. It's not because Dragic and Gallinari won those games and Barrett and Robinson were along for the ride. It's because we have Barrett and Robinson doing that, the brunt of the scoring that we had Randall do this year. And we had, you know what I mean? Like, whatever we do next season, I'm okay with it. However many wins it is, as long as it was the kids that got those wins or losses. Like if we're winning or if we're living or dying by Barrett and Robinson, I don't care how bad we are, because that's the best we can do in our circumstances right now. You know, and is to optimize the young assets, decide whether we want to keep them or not, probably figure out where we're going to trade them, if I'm being honest. And that's the ideology I would like to approach next year with, is what do we have in-house? What do we have in-house post-draft? How do we optimize that? And how do we make sure that we're not like just sending these kids, like these kids aren't just on skateboards, like hitched to the back of a truck that's, you know, driven by Randall and whoever else. Like they're the ones in charge. They're driving the ship, and whether the ship is going into a large iceberg or into playoff paradise, it's the kids that are steering the ship. That's my goal.
I was just going to say that. How do you optimize that? Find someone to take Julius Randall. You need to trade Randall.
Charlotte.
That's been the
Randall and Smith for Zeller and Monk. I'm so in, because I like Cody Zeller more than the average fan, I think. Get Dennis back home. Get Monk a change of scenery.
Yeah.
I don't hate it.
We're destined to get everybody from that draft that we
oh take. Yeah, every
well Mitchell's coming later, right? Like it's
yeah, maybe.
Was that hopefully. Wait? Am I off on that? Was Mitchell was that senior?
No.
Monk, no, you're
Frank,
right.
Frank.
Oh no,
eight,
Monk was
11,
the
Mitchell 13.
Monk was the Knox draft. Monk was the Knox draft, wasn't he? Am I wrong?
No, the Knox draft was Knox was Monk was in Fox's draft, and then it was Knox and SGA who were teammates. Knox went nine or eight, and SGA went 11, and then was traded back to 12.
Okay, I was right.
Frank went eight. Monk went 11, and Mitchell went 13.
That's right. Okay. That's right. Okay, so we were right. I just thought I was crazy for a second.
Speaking of that draft, though, that got me thinking about. I know we're talking young stars. That got me thinking about that Fox and Bagley beef, and how Fox is totally not someone I would trade for, because I just don't see a world in which paying him the money that you have to pay him at some point gets you anywhere that's past the first round, if you know what I mean by that. Like, that a team paying De'Aaron Fox a max has a clear ceiling on it as well. Like, I'm a, that's how I stand on him. That's a random thought, though. I know we're talking kind of more established guys on this pod, this episode.
The Kings are definitely going to max him out.
Thought, so. Oh, 100%. 100%, right? You, well, actually, Chip, you guys on Hoops Addicts, you just had a pod. Sorry, I'm blanking on the Kings writer, but I remember listening
we just
to
had a Kings writer on. Yeah.
And he said you guys are talking about basically, like, they're definitely going to max him out. Like, that's
yeah,
that's
one he guy said that they're
100%.
They're definitely going to max him out. Mm-hmm. One of the few guys that I guess they're all in on. Rashawn Holmes, too, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, one of the few guys they're completely all in on is Fox, I guess, and they're going to max him out. But,
I like Fox. I don't know. I don't disagree with you, Chris, on the fact that, like, if you max out Fox, like, where is your ceiling? Like,
right.
That's
a D'Angelo Russell type guy to me, too.
Yeah, but to
wow,
me,
really?
To me, I think that first max that they get, you know, like these guys that like right off the rookie contract, I would feel comfortable giving him that contract because he's still young. It's not like
the max that
you know Rudy Gobert is going to get the next.
But
time
to give up assets for him and then pay him that contract.
Yeah. No, that's
my line of thinking with guys like D'Lo. And I'm sorry, Chip,
no,
for the D'Lo slander. My line of thinking goes like this: D'Angelo Russell is at his best when he is ball dominant. D'Angelo Russell are a team that has D'Angelo Russell as a dominator of the ball has a very clear ceiling, in my opinion, and maybe not if you can get talent around him. But then, if you're paying that guy a max contract, then what flexibility
How
do
you
have to get talent?
Else, right.
So yeah. Fox, Jamal Murray, and D'Angelo Russell are these, and Murray's probably the best of the three in my opinion. But these are guys to me that if you're paying them that massive deal, you're not winning a championship.
Right.
You can use them and something else and another draft pick you get lucky on and combine that to get you your elite wing. And maybe that's how you, but I don't view any of those guys as more than a stepping stone. That's along the lines of the point I was making. Like, you're getting stars, but these are stars that we're wasting our time with. Cause what are they actually going to do here? You know, like if you're the Knicks, you need to plan to be crawling for the next 20 years. And if at any point, you are given an opportunity to full sprint, take it. But if someone says, hey, you want to start walking now? No, keep the slow crawl going. Hey, you want to start jogging? I know this is a strange analogy, but you know whatever it is, unless you can go from crawl mode, rebuild, to full championship contending sprint, I don't waste my time with anything else in between because what do we have to lose anyway? We already stink. We already – you know, why not just stay bad instead of, or stay on the bad, but slowly on the way up, you know, if we're going to skip steps, skip a step to a ring, don't skip a step to the second round and then try to finagle your way up from there. That's why I avoid trading for someone like Oladipo if he's the only guy in the building as well. I think you have a similar ceiling.
Right. I think that's fair. Cause like, you know, you get, they're talented players, but they're the kind of players that, you know, with the loan, they ain't going to take you anywhere. They need two other guys to go with them. And like you're saying, if you're paying them that max money,
where are those guys coming from?
Exactly.
And, you still have assets to get those guys with. No, you don't. That's how you got the first guy in the door.
Exactly.
So.
And it's not like you don't – it's not that they're not good players and we don't acknowledge them.
Just because they're better than what we've had.
They need a lot more. Right.
Doesn't mean
that. Yeah, it doesn't help you. Yeah. That's so true. I think that's very fair to say because, you know, there's a lot of guys, you know, and Bradley Beal's like one of them. I love Bradley Beal. I enjoy watching him play, but again.
Oh, he's he's one of my favorite people in the NBA. Like, I love him. And watching him play is super fun. But a team paying him a maximum contract needs to have two players that are better than he is on it. Otherwise, unless you have Giannis, Beal, and then you use the rest of that money on the best – rest of starting lineup and bench that the NBA has seen in recent history, you're not getting anywhere. Where are you going with that? Where's that getting you? And Beal's 27 already. So
I think I kind of disagree with that a little bit. Not because Like, obviously, a three-star, like, three-headed dragon is the, like, that's in the past. We've seen that is, like, that's the goal. That's how you win. Durant, Curry, Thompson, and that, I mean, obviously the Warriors, they had Dre, so.
That's the one, like,
it's a different, yeah, there's a different.
That's the four-star.
But you look at it even, like, in Cleveland, when they beat the Warriors, it was LeBron, Kyrie, Love. Like, that three-headed kind of dragon has, in the past, been the way. But I think now, unless a team kind of emerges, I think like the two-star team is what we're seeing from a lot of the places. Like Brooklyn has Kyrie and KD. Obviously, if they trade for Beal or somebody in the summer, that kind of changes. But like,
well, just because we're seeing it from a lot of places doesn't mean that we have a lot of real contenders.
But this year, is there any team with like three legit contenders? I mean, you look at the Lakers; they're AD and LeBron. You look at
the Clippers. They have two superstars, though.
But you look at the Clippers. Yeah, it's Paul George and Kawhi. Like you look at all these teams. It's like
the Clippers.
The Clippers have that third max slot.
Yes,
that was my point about using that third max slot on that freaking incredible. Look at the Bucks. Right. The Bucks. You have the MVP. You have Middleton, who's been a top 20 player this year. And then that third max slot is going towards Bledsoe, Lopez. Like you're filling out that entire team top to bottom.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a fair point.
I think you have two choices if you're building a championship level team, not a playoff.
That's fair.
Yeah.
You have two options. You have three all-stars. One of them has to be, you know, probably better than just an all-star. We get that's implied. And then you have the ring chasing vets and the MLE and that they fill out the rest of the roster. Or you go two star and then that third spot gets used on the rest. I was one of the advocates for, if possible, instead of KD and Kyrie and then a third max guy, I was one of the guys, if it was for the Knicks, to do KD, Kyrie, and then like Bojan Bogdanovic and fill that third max slot with like three other really good starters. And then you have the entire rest of your cap to fill out just your bench. Like that, I think you either go three star and then minimum guys, or you go two star and really freaking good.
And then you go like Brooke Lopez, Eric Bledsoe, George Hill. Yeah. You go like,
Look at last year's Raptors. I think you have Kawhi. There's your MVP caliber player. Okay. Siakam and Lowry are your 2A and 2B.
Right.
But then the rest of that team, Danny Green, Marcus Gasol, Serge Ibaka.
It was the supporting cast.
Van Vliet. Yeah. You got like,
you could put those guys. Well, yeah. Cause like you have a, Kawhi Leonard, because
you took Kawhi off that team. Yeah, look what they still.
They still won a lot of games. Yeah,
but look at them this year. Forget last year.
Right. I mean, if you guys remember the predictions, I was all like, Kawhi's off. I don't know if the Raptors are going to be like. Chip, you remember that because you were looking at me like, dude, they're going to be really good. And I was like, they'll be like a 6-7 seed. And it was like, you've got a refreshment of seeing. Yeah, like,
I'm a Kyle Lowry refreshment. Lover, so I was never out on them. But
it was like a refreshment to see, like, Kawhi missed 20-something games last year, and they still were beating teams by 20 because of that supporting cast. Yeah, so, man. I mean, that I defense, agree with you, Chris. I think those defense. Are the two ways to build a team. And I actually like the having two guys and then the supporting cast around. I think that's –
But if you only have two guys, one of them needs to be an MVP caliber player. Because otherwise, you have no chance.
Like Miami's big three, right? They had no supporting – I mean, Ray Allen made that –
They had the ring really chasing. Good, they had the ring chasing vets.
But before
it's three Ray guys and ring chasers or two guys and a solid bench. I think you have two options.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Chris.
So you start thinking about upcoming stars. Let's think CAA stars in general. I know that almost the point of the episode was to talk stars, and we've talked everything really, but to talk more specific names, let's do some name drops, right? Joel Embiid. Where does he fit? We were talking in the KFS Slack. If you have Booker, Mitchell, and Embiid on a team, are they winning a ring?
Yes.
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 Embiid is healthy.
That's what I'm saying. It's the health. You can't. I wouldn't bet on that.
He misses too many games.
With give me either of those guys plus Embiid. Embiid is, aside from maybe Jokic, because he's a different animal. Jokic is just he's like a different kind of center. But besides him, Embiid is the best the best center in the league. Like,
oh, absolutely. But even look like when Ben Simmons left, and Embiid
tanking
had
to the top, and your Embiid takes will change. Yeah.
No, I read tanking the top. I love that book.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say hit me at the Chick-fil-A.
Even today actually he came out and said like he hasn't really been working out.
I've been chilling.
I've been chilling. That was the quote.
That's why I brought him up because we see the talent. But which one of those plans does Embiid fit into? It's not the two-star plan unless he's your second. If you have
Giannis and Embiid, you're
winning. If you have Giannis and Embiid, you're doing something. But Embiid with Booker and Mitchell, you have no wing. You have no superstar wing. It's two smaller guys and then Embiid. Like, I don't think I'd bet on that team to win a ring. I might be rooting for them because they're my team. I think I might think they could win it because they're my team. I'm not putting my money on that core.
I don't know if I would put money on them like going into a season or anything like that, but I think they're definitely like, no matter what, that core right there would be top two or three in the East. And if you make it to an NBA Finals, you got a chance.
If that team could add
Embiid Embiid would be the best player the Knicks have had. Probably Carmelo in his prime was better.
I was gonna say, pick carefully.
Yeah,
were you about to say better than Carmelo?
I was gonna say since Ewing, but then I thought about it and I'm like, honestly, those years when Carmelo was like at his peak, it's tough to pick anybody over him. But
because it's a wing. You see the value of having a MVP caliber wing.
But yo, Embiid is
Joel Embiid is the best defensive player in the NBA when he's locked in and healthy. I'm sorry, he's the best.
Yeah.
I know everyone likes to shit on Joel Embiid because he's fat and lazy or whatever, and that book makes him look terrible. Oh my God, it's a book from however many years ago that happened, and he says dumb shit in interviews, like he said today. When he's locked in and healthy, he's amazing. He's so fucking good.
I would take Ben Simmons. I agree. I'm a Simmons guy.
What I've seen this year. No, he can't shoot, but hey, he's still making a lot of damn money with his layups and his passing ability.
I think he would be great on a team without Joel Embiid, like, which is like a paradox almost because like
people say that Simmons can't have a center. No, just swap Embiid for Cat and watch what happens.
A center who could actually shoot is something that would benefit him. And also I would be fine with him as like a center who is like a good rim running type center, but like someone you don't mind taking off the floor at the end of the games. And you have Ben Simmons in there as your five. Like Ben Simmons, he can cover most fives. Obviously a guy like Embiid, a guy like Jokic, like those guys are different animals, but Simmons can cover the five. And then imagine him playing defense on the five on one end and then playing the point guard on the other. Like Ben Simmons is just
I was at the game at MSG where Embiid didn't play, right? Tobias Harris won them that game with that 5-second violation committing shot at the end and the refs didn't catch it. So they put the Sixers up by however many.
Simmons got the steal. Was that the same game?
I think maybe. But Simmons without Embiid on the floor is such a – I have very few basketball jerseys. Two of them are Magic Johnson and Ben Simmons. Like, that's my kind of guy, like the floor general.
I like that.
Oh, Chris Paul another floor general.
I like that.
I have a CP3 jersey. Floor generals are my favorite type of player. It's why I am always going to be Team Lonzo. I think he gets to kid-level impact, like, one day, even if not as good, just – play style. I'll never jump off Lonzo's bandwagon.
I agree.
That's
with
why
you
I'm
here.
Very yeah, high yeah. on his 6'7" brother, Sir LaMelo Ball.
I'm right here with you. Right.
I love that build of player. That's why I take Simmons over Embiid. And Embiid, if he didn't have all the ifs, I don't even question it. I just take Embiid. But there's too many ifs, and Simmons is too close for me to not.
Right.
That's a quick
Sixers
debate for you.
The if is the injuries, obviously, with Embiid. And again,
injury
right
and
before,
work ethic.
Well,
and the
right
fact
before,
that he shoots with the wrong hand doesn't bother you guys at all. That's not weird to you guys.
But
that's not weird at all.
Doesn't RJ Barrett do the same thing?
Wait a minute, I'm a lefty.
Oh, does he?
I shoot lefty.
Barrett, I think he's ambidextrous. He does both.
Stephen A. Smith lefty. Asked. Stephen A. Smith asked Barrett pre-draft. He said, He said, "I love your tape. Listen, AJ, I love the tape." He's screaming at him. "I love the tape." They're sitting 2 feet apart. He's screaming at him. "I love the tape. I love watching you play. You're one of my favorite college players." The same, you know. "You've got to tell me what you're going to do with your off hand." And RJ says, one, "Well, I'm ambidextrous. Two," he said, "playing without that hand still got me to be a top prospect." I think that's kind of – it sounds like cocky, but I agree with Matt here to have that approach on Simmons. Like, okay, yeah, he can't shoot, and look what he does without a shot. Imagine if he can add that shot we hope Mitchell Robinson can add. How funny is that?
Just his size in general will still be able to get him to the rim. I think at some point you're going to have to develop some kind of shot, though, because when you get older and you start to lose that athletic ability, you got it. That's what the best – remember, LeBron couldn't freaking shoot coming into the league. Now LeBron has turned himself into a pretty damn decent shooter.
The Sixers could literally just – I'd hand them a blank Knicks roster sheet and asset sheet and just ask them to check off what they want, and they could have that Simmons? For Simmons.
That's what I do for Embiid. I love Simmons Embiid, too, but yeah. Embiid is
– I think you can sign Embiid in 2024, though. I think you can sign Embiid in 2024.
I think the thing that has kind of set it off for me with Embiid.
I think you can.
The thing with Embiid, though, is if you look even right before the COVID-19 shut down the season, you have Simmons that had that weird freaking back injury and then had to, you know, miss several weeks, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Embiid literally had to do everything, right? Like, he was carrying the team. But then you can see physically he was breaking down. Embiid started having back injuries, and he was going to miss some games. And then COVID-19 happened where, you know, everybody – obviously the league got shut down, so nobody really even paid attention to it. But the point is, when it fell all on Embiid, his body fell apart. It just completely crumbled, and he just cannot carry the – as talented as he is.
And when Embiid was out and everything fell on Simmons, it was beautiful basketball. So
exactly. That I'm right there. I think Embiid is so talented. I wish he wasn't so injury prone, but the dude
was
just
beautiful.
He crumbled.
It's that Embiid is that girlfriend that like she's terrible, but like you just like you can't like you love the idea of a team led by Joel Embiid, healthy and working hard and not Chick-fil-A-ing himself out and practicing, and you love the idea of that team. You love the concept of pairing Embiid with the wing. But every time you get seemingly let down so far. And I know it's been not too long into his career. I'm not writing him off. But if I'm the Knicks, no, not permanently.
I will say this about
right
him
now.
Though.
And in comparison to Simmons, yeah, but not permanently. I think Embiid, though, is someone really we could target in 2024. Like if we trade for Booker and say, oh, how about this? We trade for Booker and we use the rest on Jonathan Isaac. And then sign Embiid in 2024. That's a three I'd watch very a lot.
I don't know.
Mr. Jonathan Isaac over here. My last thought I'll throw in about Ben Simmons is if the Knicks want him, they got to trade for him because there's no possible way in hell he's ever signing with the Knicks because he told me his grandfather and his family despise all New York teams and they hate New York teams. So I guess maybe the money will get him there. Like money talks.
If AD comes,
but they hate the Knicks. They like Ben Simmons is undefeated against the Knicks, and he said the reason why he plays so hard against them is to make his grandfather proud. Because
why does he hate?
He doesn't
the
want.
Did he say that? I've never heard that before.
His grandfather hates
him.
He just hates him. Okay.
Yeah.
I never
his grandfather.
That,
so. That's what he told. He told me.
Okay.
When
I've seen
he went 10-0 against the Knicks so far in his career. He's undefeated.
Wow.
He's undefeated.
I go
you know
to a
what?
Few.
That's my
I
favorite.
Go to
not
a
that impressive.
Nick
we have a JV roster. Okay. Next time you cover a damn game, you tend Ben Simmons that he beat the JV team. Okay,
I'll be honest. When that game, I think it was his 10th win in a row against the Knicks, and I said, you know, I'm trying to get an answer out of him, like you know something salacious or whatever. And I'm like, so Ben, you're undefeated against the Knicks, like in your career, how like why are you so good against them? And I was expecting, like, because they suck, or like I was expecting, you know, some kind of answer like that. And he was just like, my grandfather, just he hates him. He hates the Knicks. So he's like, I can't lose. He's like, or else my grandfather would be pissed. And I was like, right at the end of his media availability, me and him are walking out, just kind of like laughing about it. And his grandfather was like right there in the tunnel. And I was like, hey, I was like, he says you hate the Knicks. Is that true? And he goes, can't stand them. And I was like, all right, like that's fair enough. Makes sense.
Well, so I guess we got to scratch Ben Simmons off the list of never coming to New York. I can get that out of my head.
You trade for him, though, and also money talks. Like people yeah. said they've hated places before and then signed later. So
money I mean, I'm talks. Okay if it never happens because there's other guys that I can also kind of squeeze in there. You know, I'm just a big fan. Other than the jump shot, I do acknowledge at some point Ben Simmons is going to have to give me a mid-range shot, something, because when you get older, you lose that athletic ability. You got to add something. You got to evolve a little bit to remain relevant. Otherwise, he'll kind of just become like a passer, like a floor general type thing, which you still have worth that way. But if you want to stay at like a star, eventually you're going to have to hit a mid-range freaking shot. Didn't he hit a three against the Knicks this season?
His first career one.
Yeah, that was the most.
The Philly crowd was going ballistic.
You know it's bad because you know how the Knicks can't defend a three ball. You know it's bad when you let Ben Simmons hit a freaking three pointer on you. Like, I mean, that's just you should go in the film room and just go, "Wow, we got to get better at defending around the damn perimeter because Ben Simmons just hit a freaking three pointer on us." Just like throwing it out there, but that was interesting. You know, out of the two though, it's just Embiid with the injuries. I can't take that on. Even in something like 2024, I don't know if I ever would want Embiid. I know how talented he is. I just don't trust the guy to play more than 40 games a season. And then when you're making a deep playoff run, you need him healthy. And at that time of year, nobody's healthy. And just his history shows that he's just not going to be able to do it.
I will say the fact that he got diarrhea against the Nets last playoffs, that does make me a little worried about him on the
Jordan
Nets.
Jordan had the flu.
If he gets diarrhea in a big game.
Jordan had the flu, and he still dominated.
The flu.
There's no excuse. There's no excuse. No, I'm just kidding. But I think we have covered everybody.
Jordan had the flu. Please get the flu.
Flu poison.
Do we have quick hitters? Do we have do we have any quick hitters? Just throw a star's name out there, and I'll.
That's what I mean.
I'll shoot you down.
This is the last call.
All right. If we're talking disgruntled stars, let's say with Nikola Mirotic, what's he on Barcelona now? Once he gets disgruntled, Knicks make a play for him. Let's go through RJ, all the international.
RJ and four firsts.
I hope. Donage one day. I hope Luka Doncic gets so mad at Dallas that he says, "I want to be traded, and I really want to go to the Knicks." That's wishful freaking thinking.
Did he not say pre-draft like his dream was to play for the Knicks? And like we have that photo of him looking like me right now, but in his Carmelo Anthony shirt. And no, really, I think Doncic is one of those guys where I will never, just because I'm an insane Knicks fan, I will never not believe that even if it's not until he's 36 years old, like at the when Luka Doncic is retiring, he spent a season in orange and blue. Whether it was from when he was 28 to 34 and he brought us six rings in that time, or just the last year of his career, he said, "Screw it, let me just go there for 1 year. I've always wanted to before I retire." That you can't convince me otherwise. One season at least. Same with LeBron. Jeremy and I are right there with LeBron. You cannot convince me that Bron does not get bored and decide, you know what, they'll take me no matter what. Let's screw it. And I don't think LeBron or Doncic go without playing for the Knicks, especially with like Wes and everything now. There's just – I'm so high on Worldwide Wes as an asset. People yell at me for it, but I'm so high on Worldwide Wes as an asset. I really think that changes so much about us as a destination. Like, you can't tell me that Devin Booker did not want to touch us with a 10-foot pole. And now that we have Wes and Rose, there's no way he's not going like,
yeah,
thinking about, you know, just the hiring changes it that much. Now imagine we do some competent basketball moves and get
ourselves presentable to
some basketball talent on our roster. Then what does Devin Booker have to say? I've had seven head coaches in 6 years now. And, he's going to be fired for five coaches in 6 years after this season, right? Actually, they could fire Monty midseason. We're 6-6 is still in play.
technically midseason.
It is the Suns. They could do something like that, and that would probably piss them off. Really, everybody loves Monty Williams, so.
Booker, I think Booker, like, if we do some competent basketball stuff in New York City, you can't tell me Booker won't want to come. You can't tell me Donovan Mitchell, whose dad works for the Mets, won't have somewhat of an inner desire to come here.
He's not finishing his career in Utah, so.
No chance. Shot.
No. He'll be out of there.
No way Oladipo. Chip and I were talking about it. No way Victor Oladipo outwardly wants to retire in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Does James Harden want to retire in Houston?
I think he feels like he's the king of Houston, but
yeah, that's a tough one. They have good strip clubs in Houston.
And if he joins Butler in Miami.
Yeah.
Think about Miami. Geographical location, Danny.
Yeah. And,
think about team quality. He doesn't want to screw around. Maybe he says, Hey, I'll take a few less threes if you let me just get a few extra hamburgers in per week. Whatever it is, I'll practice 3 hours extra if I get to go to some restaurant an extra time. James Harden would get to skimp out on the fitness program. You can't convince me that they
would. Like, James Harden has gotten to play with so many talented players already. Like, they match him up obviously with Westbrook here.
Three Hall of Famers he's gotten in Houston.
Just three.
Dwight, CP3, Chris and Paul, Dwight. And Russ.
There's none. He's played with.
And then in
OKC, Durant, and
technically
he played.
We don't count that. He was developing. I don't know. I'm not saying it's the Knicks, but you can't tell me Harden doesn't kind of wish he was on the Lakers, Heat, even Clippers. Didn't Kawhi try to have the Clippers reach out to the Rockets about Harden, and then when they said no, he went for PG.
I didn't know that.
I don't know that.
I'm really confident that that's true. I believe there were three people that Kawhi went for before settling for Paul George, and Harden was one of them. I don't know if I would be able to find that, but there were choices before, I think. I won't be able to find it. But
I remember there was no personal connection between the two of them, really. So, because I think Paul George said that even, like, they weren't, like, close friends before they – decided to team up. Like, Kawhi kind of like called him up or something,
hit him up.
Out of the blue. Yeah.
So Kawhi had other people in mind. I believe his first choice was Harden. I don't want to say this, but I think Kawhi tried, I don't know if he tried LeBron or what it was, because he would have just went to LA, so that he would have just gone to Lakers. So not that, but it was like Harden and I can't even think of, maybe Giannis. I don't know. There was like, he tried better players before PG, and so you can't tell me Harden doesn't kind of want to go to the – I don't think he would have tried Harden without Harden okaying that. You know what I mean? He needs Harden's want to get traded, and then the Houston probably said, no, we're not trading Harden for picks. We're not doing that.
It says here he called Jimmy Butler and Kevin Durant first.
Kevin Durant, Butler, is Harden in there though?
Ramona Shelburne says Durant got a call from Kawhi Leonard. And, oh no, this just says Durant. I thought I saw Jimmy Butler. Ramona Shelburne just says Durant. It doesn't say
Jimmy. I know Harden Durant there. Was one. I'm really confident.
If he's reaching out to all these people, though, I'm sure you reach out to find something going on in Houston.
Right, but I'm saying if Harden was one of those names, that means that Harden okayed an LA trade in theory. Meaning that he would be willing to leave Houston to join another star somewhere else, maybe not Miami, where they would make him work.
Because
if they
keep pairing him up with somebody in Houston, they ain't winning there. Eventually,
Harden doesn't want to go to. Harden doesn't want to go to Boston. He doesn't want to go to these good teams. Harden probably doesn't want to go to. He can't end up on the Warriors. He can't end up on the Warriors. And what's left? Lakers, Clippers, Heat, Knicks. Kings, does Sacramento count as a city? No, right?
No.
So
no, he's not going.
No. So Knicks, Heat, Lakers, Clippers. That's it. Where else would Harden want
to go? When this cheap-ass owner, too, when he fires Harden's coach and fires his general manager, that's going to give him some pause, too. That's going to make him think about things.
No, that's just going to be his I think he will have already thought about it, and at that point, that will be his excuse. Of just,
oh, yeah. That'll be the tipping point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then him and so Russ. Guys,
if we're talking crazy star dreams, I literally would keep tabs on LeBron James, James Harden, 8 years from now.
I've only waited 20 years for LeBron to put a Knicks uniform on. I mean, that's, you know, that's like, I don't care. He could be 40 something years old and I'll take him. Like,
I just think that all these guys want to live and play for New York at some point, and Wes being here is like the bat signal, like of hope. Like, right. You know what I mean? Well,
you know how many guys we have, like the random Knicks? Like, we always get really like talented players, but when they're way past the
prime. I think that's Harden. I think washed Harden comes. I think washed Luka comes.
Get one in the prime of their career. That would be
T-Mac.
No, not washed CP3.
Like, what?
Let's start with washed CP3. Then we'll do
There's no such thing as washed CP3.
Oh, yeah.
No such thing as washed CP3.
We'll start with CP3, then washed Harden will come in 2026, right? Whenever that is. Like, I can't be convinced otherwise. You have to show me that they don't. You have to show me that they retire without ever putting on our jersey. With Wes in the building, like, that's how much I value Wes. I think Wes undoes, like, oh, but it's the Knicks. Like, they could be the best team in the world and nobody would sign there. I think, like, that's a Yogi Bearism. But I think I think Wes changes that, you know. I think Wes really gives you a chance with whatever.
All right. Well,
I would trade for Chris Paul. I just would. I love Chris Paul. I want him at the guard. Chris Paul's you. LeBron's your guy, Matt. Chris Paul's the guy I want.
Bullock and Knox for Paul. So bad. I'm down.
You know,
Bullock and Knox.
Yeah. Oh my God! Yes. Do it. Fuck Kevin Knox.
Evil. That's the ending note of the pod.
Yeah, that's
where we're gonna leave it. At.
Chip just figured out exactly how to end it. Fuck Kevin Knox.
That was great. That was awesome. Let's wrap it up though, and we'll be back next week with another episode of the Knicks State of Mind podcast. Chris, thank you so much for joining
us
today.
Thanks for having me on. It was a pleasure.
Thanks, Chris.
I'm gonna get your name right, Chris. Percy Einen? Is that close?
Two thumbs up.
Perfect. You got it.
Look at this. I graduated. I mean, next time I'm getting it. Next time you join us, I'm going to get it.
I just graduated high school. You just graduated the, name pronunciation academy.
Guys, I'm a public address.
Cum laude.
That's what's scary. Okay? That's what's scary. I have to ask the coaches, like, how the heck do you say this guy's name all the time? But I get through it. I do well when it's showtime, but man, I butcher names. That's what I do.
Yeah, you got Luka's name wrong like four times today.
Luka Doncic, that's what I'm calling.
Yeah.
That's what I'm calling.
And just get us out. We're done here.
I'm just throwing it out there.
He said Doncic.
I'm not cutting that first part out of the pod. We're going in hot like we did. That is it.
Sounds good to me. I don't care. I have no shame. I'll butcher names. That's what I do. That's what I'm here for. But we'll be back next week for another episode of the Knicks State of Mind podcast. Thanks for listening.